Sunday, the Major League Baseball draft will start. LSU has a chance to join a very tiny club, a club that includes Arizona State and Vanderbilt. Here to talk about that is Hunt Palmer. Hunt, how you doing, man?
I'm good. I'm looking forward to the draft. It's going to be exciting on a couple of fronts for LSU.
Well, obviously the first one being, can LSU go 1-2? Right, can they?
They can. The MLB draft, we won't get too deep into it, but it's very different than the NBA draft and the NFL draft. Mm-hmm. It's not always draft the best player or the one that fits into your current team. You're more often than not drafting someone that's not going to play for you for a couple of years.
Right.
Not the case for Skeens and Cruz, but there's also a money component to it.
Yes.
And Dylan Cruz is asking for a lot of money.
Okay.
And the Pirates may not be willing to meet that. And what they may do is draft a high schooler, Max Clark, or Paul Skeens, and to sign them for a little bit less. And that's something the Pirates have had a history of. It's the way they want to run their organization. So I would still bet that Skeens and Cruz go 1-2 in one way or another. Mm-hmm. And they're certainly the top two talents in this draft. But Max Clark, the young high schooler, may sign for $8 million instead of 10, and the Pirates may be interested in that.
So, yeah, normally when you're looking at an NFL or NBA draft, you're looking at either need or best available. With the Major League Baseball draft, the term best affordable comes into play, which is kind of why the Pirates are where they are, but that's neither here nor there. Okay, so let's say Skeens goes first. Would the Nationals take Cruz second?
Absolutely. I just saw a mock draft from ESPN. They're fairly plugged in over there. Kylie McDaniel's a guy that I trust a lot on this kind of stuff, and he said the Nationals, who have the second pick, have a two-person draft board. They have Paul Skeens and Dylan Cruz. They don't have anyone else on it.
That's so fantastic.
It's that kind of tells you what we just watched for the last 6 months with those two guys and Cruz for the last 3 years. It was a special, special duo that we just watched at the box, and thankfully it ended the way that it should have.
So if LSU were to go 1-2, the likelihood would be Skeens Cruz, not the other way around. When looking at that, just you as a sports fan and a sports host, you have a chance with Paul Skeens to grab a generational pitcher. I know some shy away from pitchers because of the potential of injury, but pitchers are cared for today in a much better way than they were in the past. I would tend to forget about the way pitchers have been moved up through the ranks before and look at the potential here when you got a guy who could be in the bigs by next year.
Yeah, but you're right. But still applies because, I mean, just look at LSU's baseball team. They got Grant Taylor to come to college out of high school. They got Chase Shores to come to college out of high school. Just immense talents. They're going to get a combined 1.5 years out of those two guys because they got hurt. Mm-hmm. And if you draft Paul Skeens and he blows his elbow out next March, you lose him for 2 years. And if you're the Pirates, you only have him for 5. So that's the reality. It's far less likely that Dylan Cruz gets hurt and far more likely that he impacts your team. I think the ceiling on Paul Skeens is higher because I believe if you put Paul Skeens on a Major League Baseball roster right now, he would fit in. That's very, very rare. Dylan Cruz still has some work to do offensively in the minor leagues before he gets up. It'll probably take about a year.
Sure.
Skeens is ready to roll, and that's very rare, but it's just the risk is there, and some teams are just risk-averse.
I guess it would be like hesitating from taking the best available running back in an NFL draft because you're scared of an ACL tear. Having the potential of injury keep you from... You're going to have pitchers to play the game.
You are.
So why would you ever sign a pitcher if they could all blow out their elbow or they all need Tommy John?
Like, and they may. There's two sides of it. Just the pitcher's injuries. It's just a real thing. I mean, the Mets drafted Kumar Rocker from Vanderbilt a couple years ago. Mm-hmm. They saw his medical and they went, I'm not wild about that. Yeah. So they wouldn't give him the money that he was slotted for, and he decided not to sign. So he went to independent ball, pitched a little bit. The Rangers took him even higher in the draft. He made more money and immediately blew his arm out. It just happens.
Yeah, I know. I just with the level of talent that maybe I'm just being a little selfish, but with the level of talent that Paul Skeens has, and yeah, he could get called up this year.
He could.
Like, he could get drafted this weekend and by, you know, September be throwing, or maybe even earlier than that, be throwing in Pittsburgh for Pittsburgh. So, okay, so you got Skeens and Cruz. Best case scenario, they go 1-2. How far can you see them dropping if things don't go to plan?
They don't get past 3. Okay. There's just no way. There are some guys, like Max Clark is a great prospect. He's a high school outfielder from Indiana, and he's going to go for a little bit less money. And mm-hmm. so that's maybe something that one of the teams is interested in at the top. But you're not going to – Wyatt Langford's not going to jump them, I don't think. That's the outfielder from Florida that hit the home run in game three for Florida and hit two home runs in game two. He's very, very good. If you watched LSU in Omaha and you watched the MLB draft on Sunday for the first, like, 45 minutes, you will see a lot of guys who were in Omaha, which didn't come as much of a surprise, but it was a star-studded group up there. But I don't see any way that they get past three.
Okay, that's fair. It's in very, very – so you go Pittsburgh, Washington, Detroit, then Texas would be after that. Which would actually be a decent home for Langford. Anyway, I'm already thinking ahead to the majors. Forget about the whole minor league route. All right, getting past the first two, getting past the big two, how far do we have to wait to hear another LSU name called?
I think it will be in the second round. There are some that have mocked Ty Floyd in the first round. I don't think that's going to happen, but he did make himself a lot of money in Omaha with that 17 strikeout performance he had in game one of the championship series. His fastball is so good, and teams really, really like that. And he's worked on a curveball. But I think probably in the second round, you'll see Ty Floyd go.
Okay. After Ty Floyd, probably not again until the third round, where we would see Trey Morgan.
Right. A third, fourth, fifth round for Trey.
Yeah,
he's a
little bit
of a tweener. Teams like to draft power in terms of fastballs and home runs early in the draft.
Yeah.
And Trey doesn't hit home runs. So. Yeah. He's a great athlete. He can play first base as well as anybody, and he's got versatility to play out in left field, and he's a great contact hitter and a guy that can put on some weight and did hit more home runs this year. He hit nine. So I think third round may be possible, but you know, it always takes one team. You never really know.
Absolutely. We're talking with Hunt Palmer about the upcoming Major League Baseball draft. What other Tigers are out there that we should keep an eye on?
So there are plenty of guys that have an opportunity to be drafted. We just kind of picked off the top guys there. I think where you turn to from there is maybe some of the high school players that are attempting to come to LSU.
Okay.
One that you will see in the first round that will never take a class in Allen Hall is going to be Blake Mitchell. He's a catcher from Texas. He's going to go in the top 20 picks. So he's not going to come to LSU. The guy that I'm most interested in this LSU signing class that could come in and potentially play for LSU next year is a kid named Steven Milam, who's a middle infielder from Las Cruces, Mexico. He's a switch hitter. He plays second base and shortstop. And if he gets out of the first four rounds and he's not picked in the first four rounds, I think there's a really good chance he could come to LSU and play at LSU.
We can't talk about the Major League Baseball draft without talking about NIL because that might change things. Everybody's got a number. Like when you're drafted, you got a number that's got to be – you know what you want in order to go pro versus working your way, continuing your career in college. Is this going to be, or have we already seen NIL take its toll on the draft?
I think more so NIL will play a factor in the guys who could sign for $50,000 in the 23rd round and they're juniors and they say, well, you know what? I can come back and play again for LSU. Nate Ackenhausen. Great left-handed pitcher for this team, had a solid year, is draft eligible. And he's not going to get drafted in the first, second, third, fourth round. He's not going to get an $800,000, a $4 million signing bonus. He could sign late and maybe get, $100,000. I don't think he's going to make $100,000 next year in Baton Rouge, but he'd probably rather play on ESPN and fly charter and do all the things that are available to him at LSU. And if he can get an NIL deal that'll pay him, $20,000 next year while he's here and put an extra, little extra money in his pocket, I think that's a really good thing. So it's not going to matter for guys like Dylan Cruz and Paul Skeens and the guy I just mentioned, Blake Mitchell. Like that, Blake Mitchell's going to sign for $5 million. Like you don't show up in Baton Rouge if you can get $5 million. I think the NIL probably helps the fringe guy who may come back and help LSU as opposed to the big high profile name.
We get about 2 minutes left with Hunt Palmer. You can check him out this afternoon on 104.5 ESPN 1-3. So Major League MLB.com had five LSU Tigers in the top 250 prospects. You had Skeens, you had Cruz, you had Floyd, you had Morgan. You also had Grant Taylor. Where's he at in this mix?
So Grant obviously blew his elbow out right before the season started. He was going to be either LSU's number two starter or main bullpen pitcher. He throws 97 miles an hour. He throws a good breaking ball. He was basically second on the team in swing and miss rate as a pitcher. In terms of getting swings and misses in the fall and early spring. He is draft eligible as a sophomore. He did not play at all this year, and he's not healthy to pitch right now and would not be until middle of next spring.
Mm-hmm.
But he's got big-time potential, and there's a really good success rate on Tommy John recovery. So I believe he will get drafted in the first five rounds of this draft, and I think he will sign a professional contract. I don't. It's not locked in, and you never know what the offer is going to be, and who's going to call, and at what point in the draft, and how much they're going to offer. But it just feels like at this point that Grant's leaning towards going professional, because if he comes back next year, I mean, you saw Javon Coleman this year for LSU. He came back late in the season. The velocity was down a little bit. He couldn't really help, and it just, and then it would be draft time again for Grant Taylor to do this all over again. So if you've got your leverage and you get a number that's good, you may move on.
I've got to squeeze this in, and we might run a little bit long here. I don't, everybody's favorite right now is Cade Beloso.
Yeah.
What's the likelihood that he hears his name called at all or in a reasonable time frame?
Not great. He's just, you know, not a great athlete. Not he's just not projectable as a pro. There are plenty of great college baseball players that did not play professional baseball. Mason Katz, Ray Frimes, a lot of guys around here. Nettie Furness, Brad Cressy didn't play in the big leagues. I mean, there are plenty of really, really good LSU Tigers that didn't make it in professional baseball. I think Cade is happy to ride off into the sunset, go get married like he was supposed to this spring, which got pushed back. He'll get married, and then he'll go grab a job, and he'll do great.
He is Hunt Palmer. Catch him 1 o'clock this afternoon on 104.5. Always appreciate the time, man.
Thanks, Brian.